Monday, May 4, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock. Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30 p.m.
All right, it's a little after 1. We'll go ahead and get started. We'll start with Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Martin?
Here.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Tony is absent today. He said that if we do need to get a hold of him, we can go ahead and contact him, phone him in. He said that because of his age, he was wanting to stick at home. I said, fine with me, Tony. So I'd make a motion to excuse Tony.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with public comment. If there's anybody that wants to comment on anything that's not on the agenda, anything that we won't be speaking about today, now would be the time to step forward.
I guess I don't have the agenda, but if we're talking about the wind farm, I definitely have some things I want to say.
Okay, absolutely. We'll be talking about that in just a little bit, so when we get to that point, we'll gladly have you come up and make whatever comments you
want. There's an agenda in the back of the room.
If you would, grab one. Okay. We'll start with consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from April 20th, 2020. Approval of the sheriff, jail, and veterans quarterly reports for January through March 2020, and accounts payable. There were just a couple of insurance accounts, so everything appeared to be in order.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent items, including the minutes, accounts payable, and the quarterly reports.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
New business. Board to approve payroll claims from the period April 19th through May 2nd, 2020. I did come in this morning and went through payroll. Everything appears to be in order. There is a number of staff that have been added by the health department to do tracing. Also somebody to do data input as they track cases that we have here in Dakota County. And I believe they hired a runner just to, deliver things that needed to be delivered here, there, and everywhere. So it's the understanding that they are temporary hires until this goes through. Initially, we're just tracing the positive cases. The people themselves, eventually, they'll be tracing and getting hold of them on a more regular basis to see how they're progressing through when they're finished with their incidents. So everything else appeared to be in order.
So they're on the payroll is what you're saying?
Yeah, they're on the
temporary,
payroll.
Temporary.
Yeah, temporary okay. Hires.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the payroll claims. Do I second that, Larry?
Oh, second.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Good.
The board to discuss, approve, or not approve Resolution 20C-005 to declare a moratorium on wind energy farm in Dakota County. We do have a couple of people that would like to be called and would like to make some comments before, as part of our consideration. So at this time, let's go ahead and make one of those calls. We'll start with the couple of calls we want to make, and then we'll take any information anybody here would like to add.
Agenda item related to energy, wind energy, and you were on the list to comment on that.
Very good. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. I would have preferred to be with you in person, but one of my other hats, I serve as a local elected official. I'm the mayor of Norfolk, and we're dealing with our own coronavirus outbreak at Tyson Plant in Madison County, so we have a press conference on that at 3 o'clock. So couldn't make both things, but again, appreciate the opportunity. I'll just talk briefly about New Power Nebraska and where I come at this, and a few things that I think as you guys go about making your decision on wind energy. It's okay for me to get started right now?
Yeah. We'll give you 5 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Again, Josh Moaning. I'm a Northeast Nebraska native. Grew up in Madison County from a farm family. Got involved in politics and government work. I worked in the state legislature, and then I spent a few years working for Congressman Fortenberry. I handled agriculture and energy issues for him, and that's where I kind of got into this realm. And one of the things that's really interested me about renewable energy over the last 10 years is the business case that can be made for it. Now, wind energy, the costs of producing electricity from wind energy have decreased 70% over the last 10 years. So you're seeing that it, as a generation source, is very viable in the marketplace, and you're seeing a lot of big businesses, Fortune 500 companies, investing in clean energy as not only a commitment to meet some of their shareholder expectations, but also to save money. You've got a good example in Dixon County with the Facebook investment in the Dixon County wind farm right in your backyard. I realize you guys are deciding on a moratorium today. It's a big decision to make. I think it's important to have a fullness of perspective on this. I know that there were, in talking to others who are in the area, wanted to come today and offer their opinion, but in this environment, we're not comfortable attending because of the pandemic. So I just wanted to make note of that. I think you've received some letters from people who otherwise might have shown up in person. I'm going to run through three different areas I think it's important to consider as you make this decision. And I've seen these, of course, again, New Power Nebraska. We are a group that promotes renewable energy development across the state. So I come from that background. But I want to offer some real-life experiences that I've been able to be part of as I've been involved in this industry in the last 2 to 3 years. The first area is new farm income for landowners. You know, when this topic comes up, there's a lot of talk about property rights, and I think it's important that we consider both sides of the coin on that. Landowners should have the right to generate new income from their land by utilizing resources, and clean energy is an opportunity to do that both in wind and solar. In fact, you see it be a growing opportunity for Nebraska farmers. Last year, as a total, Nebraska landowners collected almost $15 million in land lease payments. There's currently 1,045 wind turbines in the state. So if you do the math, that's a little bit more than $14,000 per turbine for land leases. That, in a lot of ways, can become the equivalent of a part-time job for farmers who really need the alternative income right now, especially now. So we've seen that be an important benefit for our farmers, where I'm from, especially in Northeast Nebraska. New jobs is the second area I wanted to hit on. As a total, there are 2,000 to 3,000 jobs related to wind energy now in the state. The long-lasting permanent jobs are the wind technician jobs, which pay pretty well coming out of school. We've seen this borne out in real-life examples in small towns like Elgin in Antelope County, a city of about 800 people that has about 20 full-time wind tech positions now. These are kids that are most likely coming out of Northeast Community College, which has the only wind energy training program in the state. And whereas 10 years ago they were having to go to Iowa or Minnesota to find jobs, they can stay here in Northeast Nebraska now and start really pretty good careers and be able to raise families in their small towns. Allen's another example in your backyard. I think there's 10 to 15 permanent wind tech jobs associated with that wind farm. the other element of that is construction jobs. We've seen this in Norfolk. There's the last three summers, we've sat right in the middle of big wind farm construction projects. And it's estimated that we've had 600 to 800 wind farm construction workers here over the last three summers. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the same time, Norfolk's sales tax receipts have been at record highs. Our hotels, our restaurants, our bars, our department stores have really seen the benefit of having that influx of people here. And it continues even through this crisis. You see wind farm companies moving ahead with projects, and they're still supporting our small businesses here in the meantime. The third thing I wanted to talk about was new tax revenue, and I know there's some discussion of this. I did send Joan a few fact sheets that we put together based on county tax numbers and numbers that we've acquired through the Nebraska Department of Revenue to show the real-life numbers that are coming in for counties collecting taxes related to wind farms. The primary tax is called the nameplate capacity tax, which is collected by the Department of Revenue and distributed to counties and school systems. These are having real-life impacts. You look at Antelope and Holt counties, they're collecting well over $1 million a year in taxes associated with their wind farms. Their school districts are benefiting in O'Neill, Nebraska, in Holt County. They just recently completed a school expansion project that they've been trying to do for years. I think it went through two or three failed bond issues. Well, they didn't need a bond issue this time because half the project's being financed by wind farm taxes. And Amy Shane, the school superintendent, has not been shy talking about that and the ability to get that project done because of the new tax revenue. Finally, I want to note that I appreciate that, you know, these decisions are local decisions, and I think that's a good thing. In Nebraska, we don't have a state mandate on this, disallowing it or allowing it. It's up to the counties, and I respect that. I think that's how it should be. But I also want to note, I think the conversation leading up to decisions like this shouldn't be one-sided, and that you should have the full perspective and the benefit of full perspective from all sides. So I would encourage you, and I think you probably have as part of your considerations on wind regulations, looking to other counties, but I just wanted to list a couple examples. I got into this as someone who's concerned about economic growth in rural Nebraska. I saw what happened in a neighboring county next to mine in Stanton County. There was one person that led a very loud, very passionate charge to stop with any wind development in Stanton County. And the commissioners a few years ago went ahead and adopted a moratorium. What that meant is millions of dollars in new investment went right past Stanton County and into Wayne County, somewhat in Pierce County, now in Madison County, now in Antelope County. And our county, my county, Madison County, at the same time, was considering its own regulations. And as part of that process, the planning commissioners and the county commissioners all took an official wind farm visit to a wind farm in Antelope County. And they sat down, they went to visit turbines, they got to see and hear how they worked. They sat down with the developers, they sat down with Antelope County officials, asked a lot of questions on the process, and then they went about considering the county's own regulations. Lo and behold, they ended up passing regulations, I think, that both enabled development to happen if landowners so chose. They didn't restrict any business activity out of the county, but they also heard neighbors' concerns, and I think passed pretty reasonable regulations. And now we're seeing that in Madison County, there are two development projects happening, and there are thousands and thousands of acres signed up with multiple landowners for land leases. And we've seen companies take very responsible approaches to do this, some offering community payments, which means that a neighbor who may not have a turbine placed would still receive some kind of compensation for that. And these are new approaches in the industry that I think will take more and more hold as companies realize the potential in Northeast Nebraska and want to do projects responsibly and be good neighbors in the meantime. So I, again, would encourage you on this particular matter right now to hit the pause button, make time. This is a big decision. Adopting a moratorium would essentially slam the door shut on any opportunity for wind energy investment in the future, and I personally think that would be regrettable for all the benefits that it can possibly bring to the county. I'd also note that you've got a history in your area of embracing clean energy. I know South Sioux City has been a leader in adopting renewables. I understand that a third of the city's electricity is generated through wind, and I think that speaks to where the market is going, again, because of the business case that can be made for wind, for utilities and cities looking to save money while providing clean energy options for their citizens and residents. So I'm probably close to my 5 minutes. I'll stop there.
Yeah, you are. Take any questions. Thank you for the information. Hey, Josh. If you say you still lived on your family farm and there wasn't a wind turbine on your property?
No, I'm not on the farm. I live in Norfolk.
I know. My question is...
I'll say my family is one of those landowners that's contracted with one of the companies doing development right now.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Sure, yes.
My question is, if you didn't have a turbine on your property, how close to your property would you be comfortable having a turbine? Say there wasn't one on your property, how close would you want that turbine to your place, just out of my own curiosity?
Sure, yeah, no, it's a good question. Personal preference would probably be different than, what some of the standards that have, industry standards. I think you're typically at 1,500 feet. I think what Madison County ended up deciding on for non-participating neighbors was 2,200 feet.
Yeah, what would your personal preference be?
Yeah, I've been around these things enough that, when I first got into this, I made sure to go do my homework and visit wind farms. I was astonished up front at how big these structures are, and also how little noise they make.
Josh, are you not going to give me a number, just out of curiosity?
I personally would be comfortable anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 feet.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your information.
Again, appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Any questions?
No, I think we're good. Thank you.
All right. We had one other gentleman we were to call. Is that correct?
Josh
Mullane,
the other guy.
Josh. Josh.
Graham Christensen.
Yes, Graham
Christensen. Okay.
Turnbottom.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Hey, Graham, this is Dakota County Board of Commissioners, and I understand you wanted to speak on behalf of wind energy?
Yeah.
Or speak about it?
Would you give me one moment? I'm just leaving the NRCS office. I just want to hop in my truck where it's quiet.
You bet. We'll give you 5 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll be right with you.
You bet.
Do you just want me to kind of go in, give you a little bit of background, and just kind of quickly hit the point?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the important discussion. You may have been aware or may not be aware, in Burke County, which is my home, we're doing a bunch of the same kind of conversations right now regarding both wind and solar energy. The solar energy conversation recently, and I guess just to give a little bit more background, I farm in Burke County with my family and with my father and my brother primarily. My dad, you probably know, maybe he represents the Dakota County area as well as ours on the Nebraska Public Power District Board of Directors. He ran on a pro-alternative energy agenda a few years ago, and then 6 years ago prior as well, and probably will have like a letter or something to send in the near future. This all kind of came up pretty quick though. But I also, on the side, I run an alternative energy contracting company, and I focus mostly on small scale development for farms and residences. And then I've started into a couple of community efforts. I'm in preliminary conversations in Emerson, and then have also developed a project at Wall Hill, and we're looking on expanding on that pretty significantly in upcoming years. And then I have been also in the last year and a half been working with a couple large developers, with including Lincoln Clean Energy in Madison County, Nebraska, on a large 300 megawatt wind project, and with Sandals Energy for the Tiger Solar Project, which is shortlisted now on Arkansas 300 megawatts, but shortlisted now for OPBD's kind of final discussion. So we have our fingers crossed there. The solar stuff, and then also I'm president of Burke County Wind, which is an effort of 22 farmers started about a decade ago to help advocate and responsibly plug in wind energy initially, but now also solar energy we're including since the cost and the prices have come down closer to the low cost of wind energy production. We're also helping make sure that easements are in proper place for landowners and that zoning is in reasonable situations. So we've kind of been doing a lot of behind the scenes research and on these kind of issues for quite some time now, on behalf of the, you know, people of our rural county. The solar stuff, as far as zoning in Burke County, didn't really have any issues. Everybody seems that that was pretty straightforward. Kind of a little bit different complexity than the wind energy issue. In Burke County, the wind energy issue was 10 years ago when we had the conversation, we thought we were going to be tuned up or something then. Didn't really have opposition. The second wave, we did see some opposition, and we basically slowed things down in order to try to get zoning to respect some of the concerns that people had, but yet make sure that we're pro-business. Part of these efforts recently have been making sure that both on the County Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as our County Board of Supervisors, have access to tours, and then making sure they have information from legitimate or concrete sources that help them understand kind of what's really going on in here. And I kind of understand, I think for the most part, all aspects or all concerns that are coming forth. And so I can be able to answer questions on a wide variety of things. But I think per the email that I sent, that many of you or several of you might have had a chance to read this morning. Felt like Joan passed it on to everybody, and then I had a handful of emails too I sent it on to. You had a chance to take a peek at that. I wanted to thank you for that, even though it was in short order. But it's our effort, per direction by some of the supervisors, has been to quantify what the revenue structure looks like for counties that participate in this. So we put together this handout, Economic Benefits with Wind, to Burke County, Nebraska. And this is so fresh, like we literally just finalized it about midnight last night. But you've had a chance, admittingly, to look at this before even our own supervisors have. But we're going to be getting this out to them very soon. And it is an effort we worked on with the county treasurer in Burke County, and then the Department of Revenue, to pull together the formulas to help us better understand where the funding of projects of this scale and magnitude actually go, whether it's wind or solar. In this case, we focused on the 75 megawatt project, which is much smaller than the 300 megawatt Madison County project we worked on here last year. But as you can see, it's about 25 turbines, 75 megawatt, and you can also start to see the kind of breakdown. The easiest way to look at it is just looking at that pie chart, so you can see the breakdowns in which the annual tax benefits, where they go into Burke County every year. And then in this mock-up or this formulaic procedure, we broke it down to showing how much money goes into our public school districts, to the county, to community colleges, townships, and NRD, who are all recipients of what's called nameplate capacity taxes, tax revenues, as well as real property tax revenues. It kind of gets broken down into two different categories. Both of them offset the property tax reliance that landowners are already paying into the county with this new influx of revenues, which should mean that we're able to hold down some of these property tax increases, which for all those other landowners out there, everybody knows that'd be a welcome change of direction. But you can kind of see school districts, I mean, just the 75 megawatt project, smaller than a lot of the ones companies are proposing now, that's almost $300,000 of new tax benefits for a public school. So for Oakland Craig and Chicama Herman, and Lyons, Decatur, now Bancroft, Rosalie, as we've been doing the consolidation, and we've had all kinds of interesting conversations around that topic, as you all can imagine, but these revenues would have been very welcome in those discussions and probably kept back some of these discussions for at least several more years. The county also is the recipient itself. They get about $91,000 in the scenario per year. And then the community colleges, so we actually fund Northeast Community College as well, in the tune of about $33,000 a year. Our townships, for roads and other stuff, where this project would be located, would be recipients of about $23,000. And then the Natural Resources District also get about $10,500 out of that. I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on that. I have all that information in that handout that I have. But I think it kind of paints a good picture of you know what you guys would be looking at if you did remain open for wind or large scale industrial solar into the future. And I did want to also say I think that from the experience I had in Madison County, I really appreciated how they went about things and how I think it looks like we're heading in the direction with Bird County. In Madison County, this all, you know, happened kind of at once about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, just like it suddenly came up here, just like it suddenly came up in Bird County. And what Madison County County Board did is they took a step back. They didn't do a permanent moratorium, but they did a temporary stop, and so that they could hold zoning meetings, hear from wind experts, hear from members of the county, and then package together zoning that respected some of the concerns, setbacks, for instance, maybe requiring decommissioning bonds to be set in, but still allowed and send a signal that you're open for business as long as it was in a respectful way, so that these revenues could become reality into your county. And so on that premises, Madison County went through this process where there was no wind development allowed for a multi-month period of time, so they could go over this. They set zoning that did just that. They allowed us to come in and work with the landowners and get their participation in these projects to become a part of this area. And it ended up being a really positive experience for the county. And now in Bird County, after we got a couple of folks out to, in leadership positions out to kind of see the project, it was very helpful. They're actually able to see, okay, the vibration stuff is real, the noise stuff, you know, isn't what it was being hyped up or made out to be. They got to talk to landowners, they got to talk to wind developers. These kind of options, they're all available for you as you take your time and try to do what's best for your county as well. But I definitely know that these examples and these kind of tours and things, and just slowing things down when you're in the state where there's no rush, was helpful for the educational process for everybody. And I would just encourage more of that in order to put yourselves in a position that, you know, you're kind of able to respect like all the people that are living there and have concerns, but as well as not shut the door on revenues, like the ones that I kind of read off and probably potentially more. You know, I could get into a whole bunch of other different data and information, but I think for the most part, you know, we don't want to see, from our company's perspective, you know, kind of the negative connotations on wind undeservedly, anywhere in the Northeast, Nebraska region. You know, we hope that we can all be able to drive in these benefits so that we're going to have cutting edge, rural community to live in for the next few generations as well. These help us step into that direction, and I just want to support, you know, Dakota County and moving forward in this in a way that all the information is presented there and that you guys can all make the best decisions that respect all those different angles for you. Definitely want to advocate against and oppose an all-out moratorium on this, but, you know, slowing down the process isn't a bad thing either, and making sure everything is right. And so I'd encourage that approach. It seems to be the one that makes it works out the best for most other areas. And with that, you know, I appreciate getting a little bit of time to chat with you all. And if you have any questions, I'm definitely able now to try and do my best to answer them. And we'll always be available by email or cell phone in upcoming days and months. Awesome.
Hey, Graham.
Yeah.
Jeff Curry, our assessor, had a question for you.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, too. I just wanted to start out by saying there's no negative. Nobody's being negative about it. We're just being smart about it. So I want to make that clarification. The other thing is I've studied the statutes and have to follow them. And some of these revenues I've been hearing about from the last two people, the only way you're going to get those numbers when you say real property, state statute doesn't allow us to tax real property. That whole windmill or wind turbine is exempt. The only thing that's taxable would be the land, and we're going to get that revenue whether the turbine's sitting on it or not. So I'm trying to clarify, because I've heard from a lobbyist, and now I'm hearing from you, so we're hearing from two people that make money off of this. I just want to clarify some facts, because I've traveled the state, and the further west I go, the further I hear more complaints. How many lawsuits are you guys in right now? Maybe I should ask that of the previous gentleman.
There are lawsuits. I don't know why there'd be any lawsuits on on, you know, doing business.
It's not doing the business. It's on, if you quit doing business, the removal of the concrete and the pillars, which cost taxpayers thousands of dollars.
Well, decommissioning is all contractually obligated and also obligated, I believe, by the state. So the main thing is that the county can be able to zone to require the decommissioning, you know, that's in at, I think, like, what has been standard is 15 years, but Madison County said we need to fill up the decommissioning kitty at 10 years so that all of this stuff can be torn down without it being on anybody else. So that's what the standard is, and I don't know if Burke County is going to decommission or set a decommissioning bond, but we've advocated for it, also on behalf of landowners, because we believe this is a precaution that should probably go in place. So that helps you work around that. You know, the turbine components are mostly recyclable. The one kicker is the cement that's underneath in the base. That does stay permanent. That could change in the future, but it doesn't as of now. They do ensure that it's put in and buried about 4 feet underground so that when it does come down, normal agricultural, you know, base practices are not impacted. Now, I would also recommend talking to someone up there, like a banker, or some of the other counties. I think Knox County is probably, Antelope County would be a really good example. Knox County, there's some good contacts up there, but that can help talk to you more about these Department of Revenue formulas that we're drawing this information from.
Are the blades recyclable? Because that's the one of the thing I came across.
Yeah, the blades are recyclable as well, but problem is, and some of those components are being folded into like flooring for like big new, I don't know, like data centers or malls or stuff like that. But the problem is that they've just started doing this recently, so there's not as much business set up to be able to break down the blades there should be. Now it's starting to happen, so I think you'll see more of that, but that's what the kind of stuff they're reusing it into, boring on like big time facilities, and of course the bases are all steel, and so, you know, that stuff has become easily recyclable.
The one other question that I asked everybody, do you live in the country?
Well, currently I live in West Omaha, but I lived most of my life in the country at our farm. I'm going to be moving back when my parents move out here in a couple of years, and I spend about a third of my time at the farm place between Oakland and Lyons. So
okay.
I'm country first. I'm just in a temporary holding phase.
Yep. If you didn't have a turbine on your property, but your neighbor did, how comfortable, what would the distance be that you would want the turbine away from your home if you had no benefit from it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a good question. I would want it at minimal to be 1,500 feet away from my residence. Finding out that 1,500 feet is where you really don't hear the whoosh whoosh type noise that those things make, which, you know, some people don't want to hear. And then I know Madison County ended out, they decided on doing like a, right, I think it was 2,100 foot setback. I probably wouldn't advocate for any more than that, but I think like you're open for business if you're between 1,500 and kind of 2,000 or 2,100 feet like type range. You start getting over that in the eastern part of the state, it makes it really, really hard to plug and play. And then I will say this also, we should know as landowners that we have the power of negotiation, and in Madison County they had heavy landowners that got ahead of this, and they negotiated, and in Burke County we have two, and we've negotiated in both senses for there to be payment for landowners that would have turbines basically that fall over their onto their property line. So kind of like a buffer type payment or otherwise known as good neighbor payments for folks that are kind of right in between a couple turbines that wouldn't get any. So we try to take a tack here and in Madison County where it becomes then more of a community project. So if you do happen to not get a turbine, you're still going to get a payment for being a part of the project, because because we're all pretty neighborly in our area, especially in this region, and so mm-hmm. we're trying to do this in a way that gets more people involved.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate the information.
Yep, I appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Have a good one. All right, I think that satisfies our calls. So at this point, anybody that's in attendance that would like to speak on wind energy, now would be the time to come forward.
Okay, well, I will speak first.
All right, thank you.
First of all, saying that I am very, 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 very against wind energy. We're talking about the money that...
Could I get your name, please?
Linnell Bieber. I live in South Sioux City.
Okay.
Okay, we talk about the money. The money is a good thing, but, and people are talking about being so far away they don't have to listen to it, that sort of thing. But the thing that I haven't heard is people having to put up with the eyesore, for one. It just bothers me. During the day, you see the things go around. At night, you've got the bright lights. Okay, who has to live by that? Are the people that are going to have to see that, are they going to have the ability to say no, yes? So I don't think that putting that in is necessarily a one thing that you can say, yeah, you can do it, when you haven't contacted and gotten approval of the people that are going to have to put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Another thing is that currently, is there anybody that's complaining about what they're paying for the energy? What's the percentage of people that are complaining?
Mm-hmm.
Can we wait for something until that happens?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about solar energy, but I kind of get the feeling that solar energy, you're keeping the eyesore yourself. You're not inflicting the rest of the world. There's more than money. There are mm-hmm. people and their feelings. So those are, I guess, mainly the two things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that get rid of it. If you want to have it, make sure the people around it are okay with it. Don't start it. And then I guess don't think about it unless somebody starts to complain about what we're paying.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, well, I really appreciate you coming down, and we'll duly note that, and thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else like to speak?
I never get to talk up here, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to touch a little bit further. It was obvious he's not going to answer my question. He did say the truth, I believe. He admitted to the lawsuits because there's plenty of them. The other thing about the money, these guys and the other guy said it too, like I said, it's land. We already own the people already own the land. We're already taxing them on the land. We're not going to change that. That's the bulk of what they're saying this windfall is. The other part of it is the nameplate capacity tax, which by statute, the state will assess it and then they give us a check back. Well, how that works is my office has to find a way to get out there and find out exactly what it is. And as an example, we got that solar farm that's doubled sitting out here.
Mm-hmm.
We're collecting squat that I'm aware of because we can't get in. When we call the city, oh, we don't know who owns it. Whose is it? It was our land. We sold it to this company. You call in, we don't do it. We built it. We left. Nothing. Not one penny, and that's a solar farm sitting out there, somebody generating power and using it and making money off of it. This county, nothing.
So who owns the land now?
Right now, I still have it under the city, and it's exempt for public use. So they're happy, and they're not going to tell us the truth, short of me going down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never a good thing. And mm-hmm. Kevin arrests me, and the whole thing, it's embarrassing for Kevin to have to come get me, and it's all an ugly thing.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, if you look at this breakdown, that's 75 windmills this way?
Yeah.
No, 27.
27
windmills? No, in Knox County.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
But if you look at the piece of pie we get out of it, as County Road Department.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't pay for the gravel.
No, you're not going to get enough to do anything. You might be able to put a logo or something on some jackets.
Again, they don't. The roads are all destroyed. It costs millions.
Yeah, there's...
And bridges.
The windfall just isn't there, because like I said, the land, they like to try to use the land, that's their trick, that's not there. And the nameplate capacity tax only works if I can get out there, identify, and get it to the state.
Is there personal property tax?
We don't have, they're exempt across, as far as, I don't believe they turn any of it in.
The windmills are...
Because they've claimed everything affixed, because of their, they got cables or guy wires, or whatever they call those. So supposedly, you can claim that as being permanently affixed. It's still a tool, it's a trade tool, which would qualify as personal property, but that's one of those arguments, it's just, you can't win, you know, over personal and real. I would like it to generate money, but we're having a bad experience with the solar farm we have. Madison County, I'll go talk to Jeff again. The last time I talked to Madison County, I didn't hear anything positive from them. And Dixon County certainly wasn't happy when I talked to them. So, and if you go out a little further west, you got, like, they mentioned O'Neill, and then they dropped it. Well, they need to take a field trip out to O'Neill and sit down and talk to the actual taxpayers of O'Neill, not your lobbyists, about how this is operating. Now, if they're going to sign a contract guaranteeing minimum numbers for us somehow, that's a totally different story. But if they're going to hold us to the same... Well, the assessment office has to come up. They got to review the property, put the value on it, tell me how much you're producing, and then I got to give it to Lane at the state, and they're going to go ahead and run their stats. And then at the end of the whole dang thing, Bob gets a check. That's how it kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
That's still already, I can calculate that out and show you an expense right off the top. My hours, my staff's hours, Bob's hours processing it when it comes in. The state's hours, I mean, they're paid by tax dollars too. So So that's my concern. Now, if there's a windfall in this someplace and somebody can step up to the plate and say, here's the good, here's the bad, and not tell us these stories and try to pull the wool over our eyes with revenue that's not true, then I'll listen to them. Show us the contract. Show us exactly how Dakota County is going to get X.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know what they pay. That's between the farmer and them. That's fine. That's his income or her income. They can have, I mean, that means nothing to us. You know, their land does.
Mm-hmm.
And some type of revenue from the power that windmill generates does too.
Yeah.
But, and the biggest complaint I have is they have found a way to block assessors from getting that nameplate capacity tax. And if we don't have it, we don't get paid.
Okay.
I mean, so that's kind of what that boils. I just want to. That's how it boils down.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anybody else?
I'm Brad Greer.
Okay.
And a couple of things. The whether something is an eyesore or not is in the eye of the beholder. You know, so. That's one thing to keep in mind. I find them kind of beautiful and majestic myself.
Mm-hmm.
As many of you know, my wife is on the school board, the South Sioux City School Board, and when they go to different board meetings, there are districts that have these that are very happy with the revenues that come from them. Now, I've heard all these different stories, and I don't know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see a copy of the moratorium that was suggested because it's my understanding at this time no one's wanting to come in to the county. And so we have some time, and if you do want to pass a moratorium, I'd put a sunset on it or something so that it isn't just effectively killed, you know, from now on.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I have to say.
Yeah. The one thing about a moratorium, too, you know, if this board changes every 2 years, the people on it, and the moratorium can be, you know, redone, replaced, that thing can be visited at any time.
Okay. I wasn't aware of how that would
work. Yeah,
I I like the idea of, well, let's study it, and I don't want it to just be cut off at the knees without due diligence.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
It's me again. I'm Marcy Broyhill. When Mr. Maloney referred to the one person stirring up the situation, I guess that's me. I'm sorry if it's a bother, but I noticed that these two people were not Dakota County people, and they're looking to make money. And I did contact someone from Cherry County. I had her look at 900.2.206 number 10 and number 12. And I said, am I interpreting these correctly? And she indicated I was. And she said number 10 would give the wind turbine company 7 years to decommission. And in that time, they could might be stalling to file bankruptcy. So that would be a big red light, big red flag. And number two, she said in decommissioning, we have given them lots of time to decommission. The concrete should be removed at the same time as the tower and the blades. There shouldn't be like 30, 60, 90 days later. And she said, take it all out. She said, 4 feet is nothing when these turbines, some of them go down 45 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as corn goes down 4 to 5 feet, good stand of alfalfa goes down 8 to 12, and the prairie grasses go farther than that. And as far as money goes, the decommissioning, she said, we can't get them to put a figure on it. They dance around that. And she's indicated that if you do go forward, be sure that a bank in our town holds the money. Because these are international companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when both of those individuals referred to the good neighbor policy, well, if that person has signed the contract to be a good neighbor, they have signed their land to that company. So that would be something to maybe investigate further. And when you talked about the schools, in Clinton County, Indiana, they stood against wind energy, and part of their presentation and reasoning was that wherever wind turbines came in, the school enrollment went down, the farm enrollment went down, and they had to let teachers go, one school closed, and when those people moved away, the population would never be replaced. So, and I've been looking at different things that say wind energy is an economic loser, it does not survive on its own without the subsidies, and property values decreased 20 to 43%. And utility prices usually go up. In Germany, they have the highest rate of turbines, and there in Europe, they are the highest utility rates. And two things, if you have time to listen to Planet of the Humans by Michael Moore. Now, when someone sent me this, I thought they were mistaken. Michael Moore, because this friend that sent it to me was very conservative, and we kind of maybe know who Michael Moore is. But I listened to this. It is about 90 minutes, maybe more than that. But it talks about green energy overall. And it was an eye-opener for different parts of the country have other problems that are just as bad as this, especially in New England when they're taking down forests. And it is an eye-opener. So I would encourage you to look at that, plus Michael Schellenberger's 3 YouTubes. And when politicians throw loads of taxpayer money at a problem, the vultures swoop down to feed. So you've always been very gracious to me and respectful, and I thank you for that. And I just want to make people aware,
mm-hmm.
like this gentleman said.
Yep, so, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much. All right, we've been given lots of information from a lot of different people. We have a draft of a memorandum there, so now, what are your feelings? What are you thinking?
Hmm. Well, I've looked over the resolution for the moratorium, and like you said, we can impose this moratorium, and it can be changed at a later date. I think with the information that we've been given, I think the moratorium at this time is a good idea.
The at this point, it's in draft. It's in draft mode, so it would be something that we would need to at least continue to our next meeting. Do we feel like we want to actually do an on-site visit someplace? Do we want to explore any further? I don't know. What's your opinion there, Janet?
I like the idea of a temporary until we really, because honestly, the public hasn't had the opportunity to weigh in like they should. Mm-hmm. This is a big decision.
It is a big decision.
And I'm kind of with Jeff on this tax thing. Did the developer pay X number in real estate and X number in nameplate, or are we, as a county, going out and assessing the landowner's property? And they had this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I don't understand, how that revenue happens. And I was surprised that some of these are just 27, because when I did a little research, it seemed as though that you had to have 100 in a 10-mile square area near a power grid to make it
worthwhile.
And I'm kind of with the idea of the eyesore. To me, that just seems over.
I know.
I mean, I'm all for a municipality having a tower or two in their area to, and a small one. Like, I look at Old Dane. They have that little small turbine.
Yeah. I know they have one down at the college there in Winnebago that has outlived its existence. You know, it's not working, and it's a big issue to them how to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some work down there, and they were talking about that. So I think those are real problems. You know, the small home use one, you see a lot of those, and I don't think that there's probably anything wrong with that. Right. But I don't, because you do, you're starting to see some homes. I know that the little business there by Atticad has one there, and as the technology gets better, I think they're going to be more feasible, for people are going to have home use, and they'll feed it back into the grid, and they'll save some money that way. And but you don't really feel like you're imposing on your neighbor when you're doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be my feeling. I mean, I'm all for green energy, but I don't want a sea of towers out there that you are obstructing your landscape.
And I know that the city uses a third of their energy is green energy or whatever. That's also green energy that they're buying somewhere else. You know, we don't have any oil wells in Dakota County, but I still use petroleum product to make my car run. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I understand everybody's point. I mean, green energy is, the idea of it is great. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do anything you can do to help protect our world for the generations that come after us. Mm-hmm. But it is a tough decision. I guess for that reason, I'd be in favor of, you know, you hate to keep kicking it down the road, but I think we need to investigate it, and I think we need to probably get a little more input. It's tough to get input from the people that it's affecting when you have everybody kind of locked down, and you're encouraging them not to come out. So I think it'd be a little bit irresponsible to say, hey, let's make this decision when people, you know, don't feel comfortable coming down and talking at this time. So I guess that's where I stand. I would be in favor of continuing our tabling it
and continuing to research.
I'd also like to get up personally when I can and talk to some people in Dixon County and find out what their particulars are. I mean, it's as close as we can get. It's right next door, to find out what kind of experience they're having, you know.
How many do they have in Dixon County? Is it 100 plus? Is it
that whole thing, I think, was over 100 towers, that rattlesnake,
yeah,
whatever.
That's my thought process, was 100.
So.
But these are smaller, like the 27 in Knox County, and, and I don't know if there's ways you can put limitations on height and limitations on size.
I just thought it just was interesting to me that, you know, the Norfolk's mayor just did not want to answer that question and how it would affect him, you know, what he would be happy with. And I mean, if you're a proponent of it and you're standing behind it, you would think that that would be at the tip of your tongue. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you have a question?
Yes, sir.
Just a second.
Well, I guess, you know, he also has a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
He has on hand, and so of course, like it. And if you talk to people who do have turbines, they're under a confidentiality
clause that they cannot really express how they feel without losing their payment.
And we certainly understand the portion of the tax dollars that go to the school, because you know we see that with every tax that comes in. So so with regard to that, you know, those are all real issues that need to be addressed, looked at. So.
See, down here it says additional economic benefits, but it goes on to, it goes as far as 40 years. It's $10.5 million, whether it's life expectancy, as far as I know, is 15. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I guess that's in a lot of my reading, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, it says the life of the project, 20 years.
Right, so why do they even,
well, is that 20, the life of the project, but that is the day they start doing it?
I have no idea.
Constructing it, take them 2 years, and then they're...
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
I know, it looks to me like you must have to rebuild them in about new sites, because they don't use the old ones, the way I understand.
Yeah.
They decommission them.
And I know that the, when he was talking about the economic boom that they received from the farms going up around Norfolk, when they did the CF industry expansion here, there was an economic boom, which was partially offset by all of the people we were housing in our jail and all of the other, you know, things are never as black and white as they seem. There's an awful lot of things to weigh into that. It's just not the guy who's selling the gun, it's the guy who's getting the gun used on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, unless my math is off, according to this third county, is what they're talking, 25 turbines, and they're talking $262,000 in lease payments. That comes out to be about $10,000 per turbine paid
out. Per turbine,
yeah. You know, that's...
Lease payments over how many years? One?
Yearly.
Annually.
That they're, annually. Yeah, that they're farming around.
Yeah. Just looking at that, it's, I mean, mm-hmm. $10,000 per turbine. Mm-hmm. Which
so
I can't imagine if you're going to have to decommission it, and that would even come close to paying for that.
I know.
I wouldn't think so. But there's a lot of tax dollars. But yours, I don't pay no tax. So I don't
make a motion.
Don't make no money.
Haven't paid taxes in years.
Well, and I'm still, like I said, that I need to be, we should be digging into this, as Jeff pointed out, the property tax. Does the developer pay that, or does the landowner pay that? And who are you working with on that?
Good idea.
You know, it just seems kind of...
Find out who's writing the check.
Yeah. And the money.
Yeah. All right. I would, this time I'd make a motion to table it for now until we continue to investigate it. And I'm not saying that we're going to make a stab at it at our next meeting, but I think we need to definitely get more information before we move. So I'd make that motion.
I'll second that. So our stricter guidelines are in right now.
Yeah.
And anything that would come forward, they'd have to come to us anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, then we're going to move to approval of a renewal of an interlocal agreement between Dakota County and Dixon County for the use of Dakota County Veterans Service Officer 2 days per month in Dixon County. So. Our veteran service officer also services Dixon County, and we have an agreement with that, so they're just asking that we continue that.
No changes.
The one thing I will say, I'll talk about it at the end of our, when we get to the committee report. So.
It's the same agreement we had before where we're sharing, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Everything the same.
I'll make a motion to accept the renewal of that sharing agreement.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. We'll go to miscellaneous. Fred wasn't able to be here today, so we'll go ahead and take a look at that.
Do we know the status of the gravel that we were looking at, the crushed concrete from Ronnie Gill, as far as are we locked into anything? Is anything going forward on that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So apparently Fred had been talking to him, and I don't know what kind of...
Well, they hauled some from Ron. After the last meeting, you know. Uh-huh. Okay. I called you to ask you about whether we should be reserving some of it. Well, they hauled for about 2 or 3 days, and then that was the end of it.
Okay. So I think that there's been some conversation, so we'll just find out from Fred at our next meeting what they're thinking about as far as how much you're reserving or what we have the ability to do.
And they haven't hauled since for a week.
Okay. Maybe all the roads are in such good shape they don't need any. Their roads, great. The roads are in really good shape.
Yeah.
Everything I've been on.
There's a couple areas, but it'll be some phone calls when it rains. But
you couldn't have a better spring for road work, for sure.
Some of the roads out in the northwest part of the county they need some work, quite a lot of work.
So we go from the lucky spring that's helped out the road department to the other end of it, the board to discuss, approve, extend the COVID-19 precaution deadline to keep the courthouse lockdown business done by appointment only. So we're at almost 1,000 cases. There's still a lot of tests out that have not come through, so I'm sure that will be moving forward. Also, the National Guard is at the fire hall again testing today. They're looking to do up to 250 tests. I know they reserved the first hour and a half for first responders and law enforcement. When I came by, there were a number of people going through, so that would have been some of those. So there's just a lot of tests. We have added, I believe, a dozen staff to the health department that are doing the tracing. And like I say, I think we got a runner and a data entry person. So that all came through payroll today. Initially, when the health department was making their first ask of the state with regards to finance, they were going to request $50,000, as we talked about it more. That was a pretty unrealistic number for what we have going on. So she contacted the governor's office and let him know, asked if he could, if we could go ahead and retrieve that from him. They said fine. So they put an ask in for $210,000. And our understanding is that that should be like a month-long turnaround, not a years-long turnaround, and that you'll be able to, as time goes on, you know, continue to draw. And it's so the money's going to be coming from the state of Nebraska, not the federal government. So it looks like that will be able to be done in short order. So I guess really the only question on this is if we're wanting to continue the courthouse as is, and I would guess that's probably pretty much a given with the point we're at.
How's it going? Is it going pretty well? I mean...
Yeah, I haven't heard complaints.
As well as can be, probably. Mm-hmm. So we're getting kind of through tax time. So it sounds like that they did pretty well on tax collections. People have been good about sending stuff in, so that's good.
So our revenue isn't necessarily impacted where we're able to...
No, I know that they had, at the last time I talked to the treasurer's office, I think they were between 65 and 70%. Now it's a couple weeks ago of collected
collection.
All right. We'll go to...
What are you
going to
do there?
Yeah. So I'd make a motion that we go ahead and continue what we have going for the next 2 weeks and then take another look at it. And hopefully by then things will be starting to see a silver lining, but we'll see.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
See, Marty, this 911 ton, that was probably, there was only like about 100 ton left or 200 ton at the most, or 800 out of our 7 would have been.
Okay, over to Ronnie's.
Yeah.
Okay, and that looks like pretty good stuff?
Oh yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, inch half minus. And a 40-hour week, is it going to be 4 days or 5 days for the road department?
You know what, I guess, is there... Is there, is what is it in your contract?
Do it's we, a 40-hour week, 8 to 5. It's 8 to 5, 5 hours, or 5 days a week. That's what the contract says.
Is that what the contract says?
Yeah.
I had a call on that, too.
And then you take, like, well, it was cloudy at 6:30 in the morning. It's finally daylight to go out, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this morning, it was 8:08, and it was five guys outside the little dump truck and one guy inside of it. They were looking at a problem at 8 minutes after 8. Had more to do than that. Lightning had struck, we wouldn't have had a road department.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't make no difference. I guess what I'm trying to say, it don't make a difference whether you're working 4 day weeks or 5 day weeks. There's still a lot of lost time. In that particular case, there was 8 o'clock, means 2 hours gone.
I know that the.
And a lot of work to be done in that northwest part of the county. As a matter of fact, there ought to be two blades out working that area well. They got two other areas of this county about perfect, immaculate. But I wish Fred would have been here.
It seems like Fridays, seems like whenever they work the 4 day week, you always get that Tuesday rain, and by Friday it's perfect weather to work a road. And, you know, I know it's all timing, but it's just.
Well, there was 2 days last week that it sprinkled and they didn't go out. They would drive around the trucks.
But
if you look at the road, 445 hours grading roads with 7 operators and a 40-hour week. You know, it's 80 hours per operator, so there's not very many hours on the road.
Mm.
And like I said, the northwest part of the county, I drove a Sunday, and it ain't good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of that on the M Avenue is not good either. It's just Wiggle Creek.
Because I've gotten a couple of calls on it too. Yeah, and I don't.
I could call him, but I keep pestering him. I'd rather just do whatever.
If that is the contract, I mean, it's pretty easy just to say that's the contract if it isn't.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it says, and then it also says, in no way is you're guaranteed a 40-hour week. So those days that it rains, they could be sent home and come back on Friday if they want to do a 4 day week.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's pretty clear about you got to call them 1 hour prior to their start time.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I think I'd rather have somebody working a 5 hour week before you went to the point of, you know, trying to, you know, just send people home. But I know I'm sure it's feasible, but just to try to keep everybody moving the same direction, I don't know. I think that, but I wouldn't be opposed to working that 5 day week.
I don't know how it ever got changed back to a 4 day week.
Because last year they never did change it to a 4, I don't think.
Well, it was brought up, and we said, you know, it was just understood that.
Yeah.
No problem. It stayed that way. I mean, until now. 2 weeks ago it started, the 4 day week.
So it's in the contract. It's not manager's discretion then.
Well, you can do anything you want to do,
but
that's what the book says.
Okay.
8 to 5 or 8 to 4:30.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. That's their standard work week. But
so if they want to take Friday off, they have to take a vacation day.
Well, they want to take it off, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the case because they got planting to do, spraying. Get a lot done in 3 days.
So does everybody take? I mean, did they move to 4 days last? And they were just work Monday through Thursday. Or did they rotate? Some work Monday through Thursday.
No, it's all Monday through Thursday.
Tuesday to Friday. Some work. So you have people. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Years ago, they did that. They had 3 on and 3 off. Back then, they only had, well, I don't know, 5 motor graders and 5 guys. Mm-hmm. And I was never involved in it. That's what I was told. Anyway, they rotated.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had this discussion in the winter because we were talking about snowstorms in the winter, and then they can be called in to take care of weekend.
Yeah, you can do that anytime.
Anytime, okay.
But you got to pay overtime.
So does everybody have the same feeling then that we just have them do the 5 day week?
Fine with me. I think that's unless you got. Does the courthouse do anything different?
Well, no. They do the same all the time. They don't.
Okay.
I would just soon have them do it. So I'll give Fred a call then.
I mean, we went down to 4 days at the college, but we're doing it as a budgetary
mm-hmm.
thing, and we have to pay take unpaid time or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
on Friday.
I can't get it on my phone.
Okay. All right. I'll call Fred, ask him if the.
You want to look at the contract?
Yeah. She'll look at the contract, yeah. and then yeah. she can send me an email or a text, and then I'll just go from there.
Well, sure, it's not a 4 day week.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. We'll go ahead and take a look at it and go from there.
And I ain't saying they got to go 8 to 5, but they should be going. But they should be doing 7 to 4. Excuse me, 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Not an 8 to 4:30. It's. It could be 7. There's not wrong. It's daylight at 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Like last winter, I ran into one of the guys getting gas, and he had, they started at 7 in the winter. See. One of the guys, he says, "Oh." I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he said, "I'm getting gas." And then, well, he's clear from down to Homer, come clear from Jackson to get gas. And I says, "Gee whiz, running kind of late. I'm going to wait until we get a little daylight. And I'm going to order the day. I want to do, I'm gonna do something." I forgot what he did. I didn't even.
Yeah. Your ears turned on. All right. We'll follow up on that. All right. Commissioner Committee reports. I had a Zoom meeting with the Veterans Oversight Committee. There were 6 of us, and I got to meet everybody's wife because every single one of them had to have their wife set it up so they could do it. And I made mention of that, and they all started laughing. And then one guy said, "Nope, not my wife. My daughter did it for me." So, but we did. It worked out. It worked out good. We were able to handle our business in 40 minutes, and not a lot going on. They are having a lot more need, which you can about imagine, and they had not drawn their money from us a couple of times because they were the auditors suggested we don't have a lot of money in that account. So now they have that ability to do that because they have had the other thing. I got a call, and we haven't got a mailing yet from Ingrid over at Region 4, and the county pays a percentage, just like the 24 counties in the region pay a percentage of a big number. Well, they're being overdrawn too because everybody is using their services. Heartland is a big provider of theirs in our community. So they have attained an $800,000 bump from the state of Nebraska, but it's based on the match from them being able to get the match from the individual counties too. So we'll just so you know, we'll be getting that request here before long. That's all I have.
Do you have a dollar amount at all?
I think it was like $3,100. Anybody else? How about mail or emergency business? I think we've been through the mailings.
Well, the mail was,
yep.
was moratorium.
All right, well then I'm going to adjourn it over to Kevin.
Okay, we will begin the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting for May 4th, 2020. It is 2:24 p.m. John, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet? Here. Martin?
Here.
Tony is absent.
Tony is absent, so I'll make a motion to excuse Tony.
I'd second that.
Larry? Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. There is only one, that is the approval of the previous minutes for April 20th, 2020.
A motion to accept those.
I'll second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. Jeff Curry, the assessor, requesting the board approval of clerical and omitted errors. And Jeff, what we got going on?
All righty. So this week we finished up Lake Village. So you'll find, I think there's 20 overall on here. I think 18 of them were the remainder of Lake Village. And when we reconciled a couple other trailer court reports, we did pick up one more in Stanton Place and then another one on, the big one over there, 102 First Avenue. So we got those two cleaned up and re-rolled and put in. So what it was, again, it's the same thing. It's they've been purchasing new trailers and they let the inventory sit and we kind of leave it alone because if it's not hooked up, it's not doing anything. But as they bring them in and put it, set them down and hook everything up, we're going out and getting them all picked up. Some of these here you'll see, last week we got the egregious ones where we never even had the valiants. We didn't know they had them. It wasn't on the report. So this one here we have what just a flat value of a trailer. And then what you'll see in the blue is our opinion. This is hooked up and rolled. This is what its value is. The variance is the difference between what it was last year and what we believe it should be this year. And then it goes across, tells her whether it was omitted or clerical, and a little bit about what we ended up having to do to it. And then the last two columns are your, again, your county. This is just us for our revenue purposes. And the end, the last column, you're going to have the county total revenue. And trailers don't bring in a lot. I mean, the values there, we had it at $576,730 of value last year. This year, with the new report and them hooking some things up, we have them at $660,450. So that's about a $23,000 increase, which for the entire Dakota County was only $1,363. So by the time you put all the time into trailers, I don't think anybody's making out on them. It's just a lot of work.
Yep, sure.
But that's all we have. Now, next cycle, I'm going to be bringing you stuff we found from some of our new 19 aerial imagery and more houses, ag buildings, things like that. We're trying to get caught up before we get that flyover for the changeover with our pictometry because these are things that were there before the 19. So we're going one section at a time and just reviewing all the aerial 2019 aerial imagery, picking stuff up.
When do we get our next flyover?
It's 2021, so next year. And then that's when they're going to give us, we get that big report, and that's when it'll pay. We'll see some revenue changes there. Just from what we're finding now ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to have some revenue change this year, just manually from the aerial photographs.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'll be bringing those next, but this should clean up all of our trailer courts now. So we are done with that for this year. Is there any question on any of them? Most of them are newer. About the only ones that were old were the, I think I had an old one in Stanton Place and an old one at one, no, actually there was an old one left. There is an old one left in Lake Village. There's not a lot of them, there's a few.
How about the one that dropped 10 grand?
That guy there was, oh, that one was a, they put the wrong quality on it.
Oh, okay.
They treated it like a stick built, so they put like a 20 quality on it, and all single wides are 10s,
okay,
no matter what. So that makes a huge impact in value. So a typo there really can mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to accept all these omissions and corrections report.
I'd second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to the next item. That's the tax exemption on real and property, personal property by qualifying organizations, the form 451. Board shall consider the recommendation of the county assessor and any other information it may obtain from public testimony and shall grant or withhold tax exemption for the real property or tangible personal property on the basis of law and regulations.
Okay, so we have, I think the first one I'll address is, we've talked about it a little bit already, but it's the BSL. And My recommendation on that one is again to deny it, just like we did last. We already have an open TURF case. They haven't even set a date yet for it. Generally, what happens in these things is we'll get a TURF case for this, they'll schedule them both at the same time, and we'll get one ruling for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my response. I think I sent that back to Erin, too, just to let her know. And I kind of thought she'd be here or call in or something, but just because she misses Kevin.
We get it all.
Yes. And so that is BSL. I don't recommend anything other than let's just stay pat with where we're at. We have, like I said, a TURF case ongoing. We'll just get a resolve there in Lincoln. And then we had the two between what's that?
Glad Tidings.
Yeah, Glad Tidings, and we worked with them and worked with them, and I think we got everything exempt except for two lots left that aren't contiguous or anything, and they sit far enough away, it doesn't have a religious use, they're not using it for a religious use, so those would have to stay. And when I talked to him, and I asked him, I said, is there any proof, photos, do you have a calendar of events? Is there something we can track it by? And we can say you do use it for these specific needs. And he says it's kind of too hard to do that. So he says he didn't have it, and it didn't sound like I was going to get one. So there was really nothing else. It kind of leaves my hands tied, because if I can't prove the use, I can't approve it.
Right.
So it's just those two. They had a whole bunch. I don't know how many more we actually got them to give us paperwork to show that they're not under two names. They're actually the same entity now. So there was a lot of paperwork that had to be done and refiled by them, too. But they did follow all the steps all the way through to get to where we are now.
Good.
But I'd still recommend those last two to stay on the tax roll. And they can, and it's not done. They can protest, and maybe they'll get more motivated to help us out with a schedule or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the thought of going to Lincoln upsets them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting to hear on that. And then the two little housing units where we kept talking, they were filing 451s, and they want to be a low-income housing tax credit program. So I went... Charlotte is the gal's name. So I had a meeting with Charlotte, and we sat down and we talked about everything they did, who built it, how it got built, when they actually took over the other Forest Acres. At one time, they didn't have them. That was just added recently. And they are for low income. So I told her, I said, we recognize that. But do you have anything besides a Section 8 or 202 or any information like that? She said she didn't, but she'd go back and look for the paperwork. So what I did in the meantime is I called the state and their new attorney, I think his name is Scott Shaver. Does that sound right? Scott Shaver, I think is the new attorney's name. Took over for John Cannon. And he gave me a whole huge response. It took me about a half hour to read it and understand it. But what he said, that essentially what you do with those is I can't let her file. She's not the program. It's not one of the programs that it's set up for, essentially. I can still do a low income on it. So when I talked to Charlotte again, I asked her to give me numbers. And I said, then I'll run an income approach on it. And I can still take into account the fact one of them is actually more for handicapped and disabled folks, the Forest Acre, the little brick ones there.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, they really only have one unit they call for a handicap or the elderly. The rest of them, they've got ages vary that are in there. But they don't qualify for the big programs because they charge, they're 100% rented out, they have waiting lists, and they do collect rents. The only thing that she mentioned is that one time Goodwill Industry had something to do with one of them. And I said, I would need to see paperwork on that. I said, we don't have anything like that on either one of these two that they were ever involved. And they both have managing companies, too, selling companies. So generally, if you're paying a company to manage you, you're doing very well. to not manage it yourself.
Yeah.
So both of those, it's Forest Acres and I just drew a blank.
Prairie Haven.
Prairie Haven, thank you. I just drew a blank on that one. I recommend no one. And then when Charlotte, maybe she'll contact, she just, I even sent her what Scott sent me to share so she could actually take a look at it as well, and I just have not gotten any contact back. So I think if we just stick with no on that, maybe we'll either get contact back or something will happen.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you, Jeff. So I don't think we have to take any action since we're...
That's why it's on the agenda, so that we can deny them and then it's all done. So we have to take action, either approve or deny. So Jeff is recommending deny.
All right. Well, I will make a motion to accept the recommendation of denial on those two, three, four, five, six parcels. We had two for VSL, two for Glad Tidings.
Parcel. Okay. Okay. Four parcels.
Yep. I'd second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yep.
Okay. Board to approve the chair to sign referee agreements for the protest of property value hearings held in June and July. Agreements with Helvig Agricultural Service Company, Tri-State Valuation and Consulting, Innovative Appraisal, and Standard Appraisal. And these are just our standard contractor agreements. We do it every year, so. And
I think we
did our numbers change at all?
I think we kept all the numbers the same as last year. Isn't that what I recommended? Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
I thought that's what we did.
The first one is a complete contract, and then I just copied
and
the page and what they're getting paid, their rates for each of the other ones.
So. Yep.
But we did get all four of them to return signed agreements. So.
Very good.
Excellent.
Great.
Yeah. And Standard would be the furthest away. They work all over the state, though. So, other than that, they're all local.
Very good.
All right.
I would make a motion that we accept the contracts with the third party people that are going to do the work for the assessor's office during the evaluation.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
And hopefully that doesn't amount to much work. We're updating some of our processes and things in the office to pull comps even quicker than we were before. And
you got your helpers up to speed?
Yeah, I got two. I got them both trained and ready to go. All we got left to do is, I'm not sure how we're going to do it in June. I'm hoping by June 1st some of this COVID stuff is by us.
I hope you're right.
It's going to be tougher if we have to do it by the phone. But if we're open again, we've got the office where we're going to get it set up so we can bring them in, and Christy and I can both be sitting there talking to them, and the two front people can take some of the smaller stuff.
Too,
so I'm going to let them actually talk to people, too.
Have good thoughts for the spring.
What do they cost?
It depends on how it's set up and the 70 foot versus the 76, but 60 grand.
Oh,
right in there.
Yeah,
yeah, some of them brand new ones are 60, 67. And then they range from like a real poor quality one to be in the 40s, roughly.
You thinking about moving, Larry?
No, I just know a person that bought one up and yanked it. Gee, they paid $70,000 for it. I told my wife that can't be possible.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but they are. Yeah, the nicer they are.
I mean, this thing's about 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
They're marketing the double wides now over 100, the nice ones, the high-end units. So, yeah, there's a market for them out there.
What would they be, 1,500 square foot?
13, huh? Yeah, they're about 13 to 15 generally is where they're at.
For double what?
Yeah, and they're over 100, not like big, like 102 or 105, but it's still over 100,000. So, or you wouldn't think you'd ever see that number.
Well, yeah, but you can't build a real house for less than 1,500 square foot house for about 200.
Oh, yeah, you're going to need 160. Just, what is it, 160 is the low per square to build? Well, I mean, what is it out there rotunda? You're over two.
I can't answer that because there ain't no answer to that.
Yeah.
Unless you're, well, it depends on how much money you're trying to take home with you.
Yeah, it depends on what you're trying to make, but yeah.
It depends on what you like.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you have a dirt floor and you get by pretty cheap.
Yes. Of course, it ruins vacuums quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll move on to mail and or emergency business. I don't believe we have any. We'll open up to public comment. There is no public comment, so we will adjourn. It is 2:41. All right.
I think for public comment.